Welcome to Too Many Tabs, the only podcast where a husband and wife duo sit across from each other and they lore dump about a topic that they have studied all week. Mrs. P.
Yeah.
I want to let you know, I did my research on this topic and last night I was visited by three ghosts.
I'm sorry, what?
Ghosts of podcast entertainment past.
Okay.
A host of entertainment podcast present.
Uh-huh.
And a host of entertainment podcast future.
Okay.
And it was a scary experience.
Oh, I bet. That sounds like a lot of white guys.
It was harrowing, right? And when I awoke, clutch in my hands was this document right here.
Okay.
And the ghost, I remember the ghost of podcasting future pointing to a gravestone, being like, this is where you will be if you don't read this document on air.
Oh, wow.
So can you read this for me real fast?
Sure. It says, this program is aired with the understanding that neither of the hosts nor this podcast is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent and you should additionally seek the services of a competent professional, this podcast presentation and the opinions stated are for entertainment purposes only. A ghost gave you this?
Isn't it spooky?
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
That's right. It's another episode. And you know what? I'm going to do extra air horns right now.
No.
Extra.
Why?
Air horns.
Why?
We hit 750 Patreons. We hit our goal.
Oh, right.
We hit our goal. We smashed our goal.
Smashed.
We took our goal to a nice steak dinner.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for everyone for your support.
I've begun to read the book.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about it.
Don't be. Enjoy the ride.
However, I also have, we're recording this on Friday. I have my shows all this weekend in Philly. Yep. There's all the other shows. There's all the book clubs coming up. We've been covering this in a lot of episodes, so I think our listeners are smart enough to know. Go to the show notes to see all the other fun
let's
stuff we're
right
doing.
Let's get right into the fun content.
Yeah, let's get right into the fun content. And by fun content, I mean let's talk about Dave Ramsey.
Who's that?
That's exactly where we're going to have to start. And some people are already like, ugh, because they know.
Oh.
But you don't.
No.
So let's go ahead and hit that first tab opening, and then we will tell Mrs. P all about the wonderful world of Dave Ramsey.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's right, we're back again. And Mrs. P, so Dave Ramsey is a financial guru.
Okay.
With a radio show.
All right.
And he is based out of Tennessee, which is why you don't really know him that well.
Yeah.
So I only know about him because sometimes I'll be scrolling through TikTok and people are talking shit on Dave Ramsey.
Okay.
Because Dave Ramsey is a very shit talkable man.
Okay.
But also he is very heavily targeted towards like the South and the Midwest. Especially among Christian communities for his advice. So let me go ahead and start you out.
Okay.
I'm going to read you. So he's written a lot of financial books.
People can't see how confused my face is right now. Because you're saying a lot of things.
I know.
And they're not making, they're not lining up correctly.
So let me, I'm going to paint a picture for you using information that I found on the internet.
Perfect. Okay? How could it go wrong?
So first thing, I went to Amazon.com because he's written a lot of books. And so therefore, like, he wrote a bio, like his people wrote a bio for him. Okay. So that way you would know what he's like if you want to buy one of his books.
I have an immediate question.
Sure.
Okay, so you're telling me you're going to read his bio from Amazon.com,
yes,
where he sells his books.
Yeah, he sells his books.
I would say
his self-help books about getting better financially.
See, that's what I was thinking because you said financial guru.
And, yeah.
I'm thinking, hey, don't buy books. Books are free at the library. Bing, bang, boom. I'm a financial guru.
Do I need to hand you the ghost statement again?
Oh.
We are not financial advisors.
Oh.
We have to be very clear about this, okay?
Is he super clear about it?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. We'll get into it.
All right.
So Dave Ramsey, this is from his Amazon bio, directly, and I quote,
mm-hmm.
Dave Ramsey is America's trusted voice on money and business.
Mm-hmm.
He's a number one national best-selling author and host of The Ramsey Show, heard by more than 18 million listeners each week. Dave's 8 national best-selling books include The Total Money Makeover,
okay,
Baby Steps Millionaires,
hate that,
and Entre Leadership.
Oh, I hate that even
It's like
more.
Entrepreneur and leadership smashed together.
No, I got it, and yeah. I hated it.
Yeah. He has appeared on Good Morning America, CBS This Morning, Today, Fox News, CNN, Fox Business, and many more. I don't know why he put Fox News and Fox Business. It's the same. All right.
Listen.
Since 1992, Dave has helped people take control of their money, build wealth, and enhance their lives. He also serves as CEO of Ramsey Solutions.
Okay. When you're the owner of your own company, it's weird to be like, I serve as the CEO. It's like, it's your company.
You made up the title.
You don't, it's not.
Owner operator.
It's not the flex he thinks it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look, I'm owner operator.
He's like, I was on the Today Show. Only the coolest people have ever been on the Today Show.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who interviewed you? Matt Lauer?
Get out of here.
All right. So then I went to, that's a little bit of a bio. So
sure.
You got like a little idea.
Sure.
But you don't have enough.
And
of
so
an
I
idea.
Read that, and then I said, "You know what I need to do?
Yeah,
give Jeff Bezos money to mm-hmm. listen to this man talk about baby steps for money,
baby steps to become a millionaire."
Okay, all right, go ahead. I had you have some questions. I should actually have a piece of paper to write them down.
I had them on the table, and you said it's too cluttery.
Well, you do be cluttery.
Okay, well, sorry. Here's a piece of paper. Okay. Hold on. Here's another piece of paper.
Because I need to write down my questions.
And here's
I'll forget
a pen.
Them.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, take notes.
I am.
Detailed notes. So this is from Investopedia.com.
Okay, first question. What the hell is that?
Okay, so Investopedia.com is a lot like Bankrate.com or some other different websites. So like when you Google things, mm-hmm. right, like who is Dave Ramsey?
Yep.
And or like maybe what is a stock, right? What is a dividend? What is how be an NFT? Investopedia.com does a lot of SEO, so search engine optimization, to try to be at the top of the search engine.
Instead of Wikipedia,
because their goal is they want to get the ad revenue.
So
they're gonna print short Wikipedia style responses
mm-hmm.
that are very cut and dry and often not very good. But they're also one of those websites that definitely either actively being scraped for data or they have scraped data and have used an AI to write them.
Perfect.
Because they are written very garbage like.
Okay, so why are we there?
So they had 5 bullet points about Dave Ramsey.
Okay.
And I feel like these add more flesh to what the Amazon bio is missing.
Sure.
Okay. Dave Ramsey is a well-known financial guru. That's Investopedia's words.
Mm-hmm.
An author with a nationally syndicated radio show and other media presence. Right?
All right.
Before becoming a financial pundit, Ramsey saw both early success and bankruptcy.
Not a great sign. Don't love that.
Ramsey employs Christian values to help convey his message of financial prudence and savings.
Okay, so I'm seeing a red flag right now.
Yep. Dave Ramsey is transparent about his investment style, and he encourages his followers to avoid investing in individual stocks and purchase mutual funds with a long track record of good performance.
Okay.
Okay.
And sure.
Final one. Ramsey's net worth is estimated to be around $200 million as of 2021.
Estimated
as of 2021. Remember, the stock market's done some pretty crazy stuff since.
Mm-hmm.
Since
but
then.
There's a bankruptcy in there.
Yeah, there's a. We'll get into that.
Okay.
So do you want to hear a quote directly from Dave Ramsey's Facebook?
Oh my God, his Facebook.
Yeah, he has a Facebook, pretty active Facebook.
Is this guy old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's old.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you want me to pull up a picture of him so you got an idea?
I mean, if he's on Facebook.
I think he's 61.
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean. He's like a boomer.
Oh, yeah, no, this is him.
Oh.
All right, so that's an AI image. I don't know why an AI image of him comes up first.
Whoa.
But this one over here with the microphone, this is his Wikipedia picture.
Okay, so we're getting grumpy bald Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Bald Santa
with
Claus.
With a goatee.
Yeah, okay.
With a goatee, male pattern baldness.
Sure.
You know, and he's got the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's very much of that, he has AM radio face.
You know, when you tell somebody they got a face for radio, that's
no, but
an
this
insult.
Is AM radio.
That's a bigger insult, I think.
Yeah, he does have actually a very deep voice.
Okay.
So this is directly from Dave Ramsey's Facebook from just about 5 days ago. This was posted on April 7th, 2024.
Okay.
In the words of Dave Ramsey, humility recognizes that God is 100% responsible for every blessing, every success, every outcome, and every reward in my life. I only have these things because God gave them to me. Sure, I worked hard, but God provided the result.
Okay, so I got a few initial thoughts. Number one, by putting it all in God's court, why do I need this financial guru? I should just be able to go right to God. Skip this guy immediately.
Yeah.
Number two, if God does all the work, then why do I have to bother? God's just going to give it to me if he's going to give it to me.
Yeah, why
Bing,
do I,
bang, boom.
Why do I need to pay $15.99 for
his
book?
I need to buy a book on Amazon?
Yeah.
God's just going
to
do it.
Or pay $29 to go see him live.
Oh, God. And then number three, I think the other side of the coin that I immediately think is, if you're going to tell me that you, grumpy Santa Claus, have gotten all this money because of God, does that mean that all the people that are in poverty and don't have money is because God doesn't love them?
Well, you're almost there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, is that what I'm getting?
Well, it's that they haven't accepted the word of God and they're lazy. Now, Dave has made a big point to point out, though, that he does not believe in the prosperity gospel.
That Facebook post was prosperity gospel.
I know, but he has stated that he doesn't believe in prosperity gospel.
What? No.
I know what you're saying, and I see the face you're making right now. But Dave likes to be viewed separate from hucksters like Joel Osteen and the other guys, T.D. Jakes and all these other different televangelists.
Does he call them hucksters?
He doesn't, but he has gone out of his way because his whole thing is about financial prudence, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
So Dave has some thoughts about Gen Z and millennials from a few days ago.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
All right, I want you to guess what a 61-year-old
about Gen Z and millennials together? Because he doesn't understand that 20-year-olds and 40-year-olds are all into that same thing and in different life experiences.
Yes.
And he's jamming us together.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think avocado toast is a little played out.
Yep.
I know that we killed paper napkins and paper plates. And I know that we're really being shamed for a lot of people not being able to buy homes or have kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, what are we destroying? What are we destroying? Maybe it's that Gen Z and millennials are so entitled that they're not buying name brand cereal.
Okay,
I think that might be it.
So you actually had nailed it with the whole not kids and houses part.
Yeah.
That was the big one.
Uh-huh.
So in his interview with Fox Business, and I found this because I went on Yahoo News.
Yeah.
And Dave is one of these guys, because he plays so well in the Midwest and the South,
mm-hmm.
that places like Yahoo, USA Today, a lot of places that are really big tent media organizations,
yeah.
where they're casting a wide net, they'll throw some Dave Ramsey in there every now and again. So that way it's like, okay, so the Midwestern mom be like, oh, Dave Ramsey. I read Dave Ramsey in this thing. So that way there's like a feeling of it. So he's one of these weird ones, kind of like Paula Deen years ago,
mm-hmm.
where he gets to bubble out of his region.
Got it.
A little more than other people. So Dave was on Fox Business. He did say that there are some Gen Z and millennials who are hard workers.
Okay.
Quote, then there's a segment of them that just sucks. They're just awful. I mean, their participation trophy, they live in their mother's basement, and they can't figure out why they can't buy a house because they don't work. You know, stuff like that.
Okay. Immediate thoughts.
Yeah.
Immediate thoughts. There's a large segment of people his age that also suck.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to elaborate further, because no, but okay. It's, does he think that everyone his age owns a home and that everyone his age has jobs?
He thinks that anyone who doesn't, they committed financial sin.
Okay, so I see. All right, so we're in the different types of sin, and laziness is a sin, sloth is a sin.
Yeah.
So,
and being not frugal sin, is a sin.
The sin of poverty is what we're talking about here.
Yes, that, and the sin of circumstance, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
He would look at somebody on the side of the road holding up a sign, and he would say, well, what did you do to be on the side of the road?
Yeah, not...
That's not what... What in the world?
But he would say it in a blamey tone.
Yes.
In the tone of like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Instead of like, how did this happen to you?
So let me tell you a little bit about what happened to Dave to get us here.
Is it a knuckle sandwich to the face? Because I'm already upset.
No, this is clearly a man who has never been punched in
the
face.
Oh, I feel like a one punch to the face might solve a couple issues already. A
legend. Oh my God.
What?
Okay, do I need to hand you the ghost statement again?
I'm not afraid of no ghosts.
Okay. So, let's go ahead and start off.
Dave, also, I did picture one of those ghosts, the past podcast ghosts, as Joe Rogan.
Oh,
hard
no.
Nipples out.
That was present. That was present podcast ghost.
Okay, present podcast ghost.
Yeah.
As Joe Rogan, hard nipples out.
Yeah. The it was a whole experience.
Okay.
It was a very crazy thing. Future podcast ghost, though.
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it was all VR.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. But in the future, VR is done through hoods, not goggles.
Okay. We need to not elaborate on this.
I'm not going to. So Dave Ramsey was born in Tennessee, and he got his real estate license at 18 years old.
Okay. So immediately.
I knew instantly your thoughts on realtors. So I knew.
I fucking hate a realtor.
Imagine an 18-year-old. An 18-year-old realtor telling you what to do.
I want to flip the table. An 18-year-old. It makes my back hurt thinking about an 18-year-old realtor telling me what to do in my life. Listen, if you listen to this podcast and you're a real estate agent or a realtor, trademark, I'm happy for you. Get that 2-3%. I'm so excited for you. I have a vendetta and a vengeance against real estate agents from years of working with them.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to let it go for this sumbitch.
No, you're not. So at 18 years old, Dave got his real estate license. Uh-huh. Now, he had a leg up here because both of his parents were realtors and developers.
A shock. A fucking shock.
Yeah.
That he was born into some semblance of security financially.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the one thing about Dave's parents were that they were obsessed, and all the way back in like the 70s, uh-huh. in the 60s and 70s, his parents were obsessed with the early forms of self-help books and self-help tapes.
Oh my God.
Before they took the world by storm in the 80s,
yeah.
when they really like bloomed, they listened to like the Andrew Carnegie tapes and all these other different things, and like they would listen to these in the car. And like drive around, and they would be reading them. And Dave even said at one point, he has this joke about asking his dad for like a couple bucks
mm-hmm.
to get an icy, and his dad took him to a place to get a job.
Okay, that's not the feel-good story he thinks
no,
it is.
No, it's a psycho story.
That's a psycho story.
Yeah, it is a psycho story, but he plays it off as a funny one in churches.
No, that's... Oh,
so
my God.
While Dave was in college,
uh-huh.
he paid for his college. He did not need a student loan.
Which cost four nickels? It cost four nickels?
Because at the time, he was working as a realtor flipping homes. So he was buying homes, fixing them up on the weekends.
He was flipping real estate.
He was flipping real
college.
Estate to pay for college.
Uh-huh.
And he earned a bachelor's degree in finance and real estate
uh-huh.
From the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
I didn't even know they made bachelor's degrees in real estate, honestly.
That's just what it said.
You can go to community college and get a real estate license for like $235.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why sometimes those people that I worked with didn't trust them to read all the legalese.
Yeah.
Because they went to community college
yeah.
and got a $200 test done. Anyway.
Yeah. And some of them were like, hey, I was good at baseball, but not good enough. Anyway, I'm assuming I've made an assumption. This is very specific.
That's very specific. Ooh, listen, bartending's hard as an alcoholic. I had to find a new lane.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that Dave graduated college at either 22 or 23, which would put his graduation date somewhere in 1982 or 1983.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's very important because by 1986, Dave had a portfolio of over $4 million in properties.
Of course he did.
Yep. So by the age of 26.
Yeah.
He was worth $4 million. He was rehabbing. He was flipping them and all across all of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was cool. Very important. That was his height in 1986. Mm-hmm. Because in 1987, the federal savings and loans crisis happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the most bare bones way of explaining the federal savings and loan crisis.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
1987, the economy almost collapsed. I know, everybody shocked.
Oh no.
Everyone shocked.
What?
I'm sure there's actually probably a couple elder millennials who are like, wait, I lived through another. Let me add that to the list of financial collapses I lived through.
Yeah.
But in 1987, it got really bad. And what happened was basically there were these things called savings and loans.
Mm-hmm.
So savings and loans were like banks. They weren't exactly the same. So you could get a savings account that was a high yield savings account. And then that bank took your money and they loaned that money out to different people so they could get mortgages.
Yeah.
So it was high cost for them to get the money. And then they were getting these mortgages at a discount.
Okay.
So they had a razor thin margin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so they were paying too much for deposits and they weren't getting enough in return. And then as the federal loan rates changed, they couldn't borrow money at the right amount. And so basically a shit ton of these savings and loans collapsed. There was also a lot of graft and corruption and other things that go in there.
What?
I know, you're shocked, right?
Oh, my
but
God.
But basically in 1987, Ronald Reagan had to sign the Competitive Equality Banking Act of 1987. Now, let me state this. I went in to go try to find out more about what this act is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I could find was the signing statement by Ronald Reagan, where basically he's like, listen, I'm signing this. I don't like it. I don't like how it's not competitive. I don't like how it's regulating stuff. And it's basically just like a laundry list of him just be like, fuck this. I hate this. But being like, if I don't sign it, everything's going to fucking, we're going to be eating dogs next week. Like, that's how this was.
Yeah.
So it was bad. But one of the things that happened with the Competitive Equality Banking Act is that this became a big problem for Dave Ramsey.
Oh, he has his first problem in life.
Yes, his first major hurdle.
Meanwhile,
by the way, he's been married at this point, and he's had a couple kids.
Never went to sleep on an empty stomach, this one. Suddenly has a problem.
So Dave had financed his portfolio with local banks.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had business loans,
okay,
and he had lines of credit. And those banks changed ownership,
sure,
pretty rapidly because they were all on the edge of bankruptcy.
Okay.
So basically what happens when this happens, the bank's about to go under, the Fed comes in and they take the bank apart,
mm-hmm,
and then they sell parts of it to different people, or they sell the bank wholesale to another bank that can absorb it as fast as possible. Because if they don't, it'll create a domino effect that will collapse the entire economy.
Yeah.
Guys, just real quick, just for people who are like, what the fuck is he talking about? Our economy is built on vibes. And so imagine.
And they're not great vibes.
They're not great vibes. Imagine if our economy was a party, right? And then the coolest dude at the party just did some bum coke, right?
Oh,
now,
no.
Okay, he's about to OD in front of everyone. So the feds, AKA the bouncers, who definitely let that guy walk in while he was holding bags of bad coke, they're like, we got to sneak this guy out the back, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then as we're sneaking him out, we're going to take his jacket off and we're going to put him on the jacket on the next coolest guy.
Yeah.
And hope he doesn't also have bad coke.
Yeah.
That is our economy.
Mm-hmm.
That is how our economy has been structured for years. And in this moment, Dave's loans were sold to people who don't know Dave. And he has $1.2 million in loans and credit lines in 1986.
Okay, why do they need to know him?
Because this is before credit reports.
Son of a bitch. I'm going to have an aneurysm during this episode.
Yeah. So in 1986, 1987, before credit reports were a thing.
I wish I could slam my head into the desk.
Do you remember when we did our redlining episode?
Yep.
This is very kind of tied into that.
Just remember, we didn't used to have credit reports.
Yeah. Well, do you know how we used to deal with it? You would go to a bank and you would convince them, I'm a married, good Christian man, and I definitely repay all my debts.
Mm-hmm.
And here is someone else who I have taken money from. Yep, that's Dave. And Dave has repaid all of his debts. And then they take a risk and they go, and they would stamp it. And they go, here's a couple $1 million. Because we know Dave's dad. And we go to church with Dave's mom. And we go to my kids go to preschool with Dave's kids. I know Dave. Dave isn't going to just pull up and leave town. That was how it used to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these new bankers are here.
Yeah.
New owners are here. They're looking at the new debts they just bought, and they said, why does a 26-year-old have $1.2 million in debts?
Yeah.
And they call the loan. What call the loan means is they go, you got to pay us back right now.
Yeah.
We're not, we're done. Because in the business banking side of things, you can do that. On commercial loans, you can do that.
Yeah.
And Dave's old thought process was he was going to do home flipping and eventually become a commercial realtor side of things, where he was going to buy office buildings and do more the Donald Trump side of things, yeah. Not do the individual. He wanted to build up the money.
Like God wants people to do.
God
wants people to be commercial real estate agents.
Yeah, God said, take the least of these and build brutalist architecture so they can't sleep on the benches.
God said, here are some beautiful trees and animals. Have you considered tearing them down to build casinos?
So basically, what happened now is Dave is 26 years old. He has $1.2 million in debts that have to be paid off in 90 days, and he can't do it.
Boo.
So he declares bankruptcy.
Why didn't he pull him up by the financial guru bootstraps?
Well, you know, he wasn't a financial guru yet.
So he had to declare bankruptcy.
He declared bankruptcy.
And had to ask the government for help?
Yes. And it took him 3 years and over time. So from 1987... through till 1990, he's the first couple years, like, he's desperately trying to sell off properties, and also like home sale prices crashed, all this different stuff happened, like,
okay,
at the same time. So it's dire, and he talks about like crying in the shower and like thinking about ending it and like all this other different stuff, because like, you know,
I love the idea of crying in the shower, because the way that I'm picturing this man, a 26 year old with this much money,
yeah,
like, just, I'm sure, insufferable. Just, I'm sure, insufferable.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the thought that, like, he is stressed the fuck out and the only place he can cry safely is the shower, because he probably is just so insufferable he wouldn't show emotion to anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who hasn't cried in the shower? But still, I want to mock him for it, because I don't like this guy.
Yeah. And so now, here's the thing. What I just told you is not a secret.
Okay.
No. Some guys would hide. Like, Donald Trump, other grifters, they would hide this past.
Okay, yeah.
But this is the Christian grift. What I just described to you,
oh, yeah,
is Dave's bottom.
You have, as part of the Christian grift, you have to be saved.
Yes.
Therefore, you have to have some type of bottom to be saved from.
Yeah, 100%.
You have to show that.
And so Dave leans on this.
Yeah.
Dave leans on, listen, I went through bankruptcy.
You know who else did this?
Who?
Brittany Dawn.
Mm.
This is what Brittany Dawn did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it on TikTok.
Yeah.
This is exact. Brittany Dawn was like, listen, those crimes I committed, I've been saved.
Yep.
I've been changed by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
By my eyelash extensions.
Yeah. So what Dave did is Dave flipped himself to becoming a financial advisor.
Yeah, he rebranded.
Yeah, exactly. Now, most people would not listen to somebody who just went through bankruptcy for financial advice.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave, like I said, he turns failure into a story of redemption. In 1988, he founded a financial consulting group. It's called the Lampo Group.
Lampo?
Lampo. And Dave starts leaning on his church network and starts helping young couples deal with all of the issues that are happening through that recession in 88.
Okay.
So talking to them about debt restructuring, talking to them with like how to handle their finances and things like that.
When you say talking to them, is he helping them free of charge as a friend and a community member, or is he charging them money for this help?
It doesn't say initially, but it sounds like, I feel like with, as he starts it out, he was probably helping a couple people for free,
mm-hmm,
then builds up just enough good words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm guessing there's a little friends and family discount. You know, yeah, what I mean? You're part of the church. And then it starts to grow through there. But he starts to lean on his church network. And these are people, again, who know Dave and who are like, no, Dave was a good guy. He was just flipping homes to sell to help people. And like this is a crisis that happened to everybody. This wasn't Dave's fault. Dave wasn't taking advantage of a system that was designed to help only people like him,
mm-hmm,
that happened to flip on itself because it was a self-perpetuating monster. No. These were outside circumstances. But you know what? Dave paid his debts. Dave made sure it all went well, right? So 1988, he founds this group. And by 1992, he's over his bankruptcy. Everything's been completed with that. He'd structured and paid off what he could. And by 1992, times were better.
Yeah, okay.
So Dave self-published his first book.
Okay.
You know? And this is 1992. He couldn't just go on Amazon, click two AI buttons, and then make an Audible book,
yeah,
right?
He probably had to get a ghostwriter or sit down and write a book himself.
He did. And he wrote a book, and it was called Financial Peace. P-E-A-C-E. You're going to find peace in your finances.
You know what I appreciate? Does he call himself a financial guru? Is that his words?
No, he doesn't really. Like, that's the one thing I was looking around of, like, how he calls himself. He really leans on the fact that he is a radio talk show host, which we're about
to get
into.
Like, the idea that, like, he's pushing away from the prosperity gospel people, and he's, like, in this guru's, this Christian guru thing, mm-hmm. and then he's using, like, and peace. Like, the linguistics of this is very, like, I don't know. There's something in here that I want to pick apart.
Yeah. Well, it's that very edge when we start, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, because this is right around the same time, 1992.
Yeah.
He does become a talk radio host. And this all plays into that weird, like, Rush Limbaugh, Pat Robertson, James Dobson. Mm-hmm. They eventually embraced
which
Dave.
Are, as we know from this podcast, all offshoots of other yes. radio hosts. That,
radio grifters.
Radio grifters.
That Fishbein had to come in and take down.
We don't have a Fishbein.
We don't have a Fishbein is the problem. So, okay. So he becomes a radio host. And what he does is he comes on the show and he comes in as a guest for free.
Okay.
It is noted in a few of the articles I read that he came on for free as a guest. But he was so popular because what they did is they brought him on. Like, we got Dave Ramsey here. Dave's here to talk to people about finances.
Yeah.
And then people with callers, kind of like Frasier.
Okay.
They'd call in with their problems and be like, Dave, I'm broke. I don't know how to get out of this debt. And Dave would be like, all right, let's go over your finances right now. And Dave would pull out a piece of paper and they'd be like, what do you got? They're like, oh, I got a $100,000 mortgage. Okay, $100,000. I got a $3,000 car. No, how much you spend on groceries a week? I spent about $100 on groceries. All right, we got to cut that to 50. And what Dave starts to push mm-hmm. is a thing called snowball debt theory.
Like when a snowball gets bigger and then yeah. you get more debt?
No, so, okay. So the snowball
uh-huh.
is how you're paying off the debt. The debt is a mountain.
Okay, the debt is a mountain.
Start here, okay? The debt, the mountain, uh-huh. that's debt.
Yep.
You're at the top of the debt mountain. And you want to get down to the bottom. You want to get down to the valley where it's
peaceful. This
is
already weird because usually you want to get to the top of the mountain.
No.
That's the success.
No. You're starting at the top.
I'm already there. Boom. At the top of the mountain.
You're at the top of the mountain. And that's where the devil lives.
Wait, what?
Okay.
this analogy sucks.
Because this is opposite heaven. So you're at the top of the mountain, right?
Okay.
And you're doing your minimum payments.
All right.
You have all this debt at the sure. top of the mountain. And so you're trying to dig out. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to take down this mountain. But if you go and you find what's the least amount of debt you have, right? And you look mm-hmm. around, and you go, well, all right, well, I have a credit card with $500 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Dave would say, you're going to pay off that credit card with $500.
Yeah.
You're going to do as much as you can to pay off that credit card. And then once you're done with that payment, you're going to take that credit card payment and yep. you're going to apply that same payment because you're used to it to your next debt. Because you're paying all of them at the same time, but your goal is to pay off the credit card, and then you move on to your car note. And once your car note's paid off, then you move on to your home equity loan.
Okay.
And once your home equity loan's paid off, you're going to move on to this. And he looks at it in Snowball as the idea of a cartoon snowball rolling down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting lower down debt mountain, and your snowball payment is taking away more and more principal. So there's less debt as
this
you get lower.
This is a terrible image. Like, it's a very bad way to explain. Like, I understand what you're saying. It's like the snowball itself is picking up snow as it rolls. So then it's as it gets to the bottom of the mountain, the snowball's bigger, but we've removed snow from the body of the mountain, which is the debt. But like, being a human brain, I'm like, but the snowball is
well, maybe
big.
It's not a mountain. Maybe it's a hill. I don't know, man. Like, the whole thing is the idea.
But so what you're saying is his whole thing is we should all be debt-free. He walks around debt-free.
His whole thing is that we shouldn't. It's not a sin to have debt, but you should be taking as little debt and as little risk as possible.
Well, who the fuck is he? He had so much debt when the banks called it in.
Because he took a huge amount of risk, but that's what he learned from that experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his claims are.
Got it.
And now, so what he does on this talk radio, he gets very popular because what he's saying, snowball debt theory, is not, or the snowball debt method. There's another version called the avalanche debt method.
Mm-hmm.
That one is the idea of you pay off the one with the highest interest rate.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Dave's version feels better because you're checking off something earlier. So if I'm paying off a debt, if I have a $500 debt over here and I'm paying that off, so I have one less payment, I've accomplished something,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
But if my $500 debt has a 1% rate, but my $20,000 debt has a 15% rate, like I should be trying to tackle the 15% rate because I'm going to be paying more interest.
Exactly.
Dave tells you, no, pay off the $500 and that'll feel better. And then you're going to take that payment from the $500 to pay off the $20,000.
Okay.
They're both different ways of doing it. It's really like up to you at that point, but like it doesn't matter. What Dave is explaining to people, he's doing the Jordan Peterson. Clean your room and take a shower.
Yeah.
He's telling people who may have had...
Eat a couple benzos. That's not in the...
I couldn't reach the button in time.
was in the rules.
But what he was telling people is very basic. And some of these people had never had, especially in some of these areas, had never had financial literacy courses.
Absolutely not.
So telling somebody a very basic thing of like, you can't just keep opening credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Stop using credit cards to pay off credit cards is a good message. It is not also the only message.
It's also... Again, it's not his theory, the avalanche theory. It's like putting a Band-Aid on an avalanche, though, because he's not discussing the predatory nature of credit lines in low-income areas that don't have financial literacy. Like Fingerhut magazines going out to your grandma with a 21% APR
mm-hmm.
on toasters.
Yep.
Like, he's not talking about how to avoid those specific situations. He's just talking about... Here's how you pay it off. And if you do it this way, God will love you more?
Kind of. It's part of that built-in, like, that Puritan, like, feeling of, like, oh, because you're using hard work. And you're going to feel good. And you're going to be a good Christian. You're going to feel like a good member of society mm-hmm. because you worked really hard to pay off your debts. He also tells people, like, you need to pay off your debts. You should not seek bankruptcy. You shouldn't go down these roads that I took. You should be a good person and pay these things back. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, part of me has a theory. Like, I wonder if they're...
Allegedly.
This is in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is a theory.
I love
because of how big Dave has gotten in some circles, whether or not there are certain lobbying groups tied to possibly credit cards or the banking industry who have propped up Dave a little bit more because he is telling people that paying off their debt is the number one thing, and who doesn't want their debt paid off more to actually be repaid than the banks and the credit cards and these financial service companies or payday lenders or others, because other people would be like, no, go talk to a lawyer, get it restructured and pay off what you can.
Yeah.
You shouldn't go homeless and starve to death and have your marriage collapse.
Yeah.
Dave will be like, no, you should eat less. You should go work more.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you only working 40 hours a week?
You don't need to see your kids or your family.
When he does these calls, he is very... very mean to people.
Yeah.
When he takes them, he cages it in this like Tennessee Christian tough love, you know, bless their heart type of bullshit when you listen to his callers.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, like, people really get mad at him now. And we'll get into that in a little bit because he's 61 and now he's so rich, he doesn't know how much things cost. And now that inflation is taken off, when people tell them what their bills are, he's like, why are you paying that much? And it's like, because that is the price now, idiot.
It's like the Arrested Development.
Yeah. How much could a banana cost? $10? Except in reverse. He would believe that banana should only be a nickel. So, like, he's doing 1986 prices because that's the last time he had to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's go back to 1992.
I wish.
So, I know.
1992.
Let me tell you, X-Men 97 has been doing some work on my brain, okay?
What? Okay, so, 92 wasn't a great year for me. I think I had just gotten braces.
Yeah.
It was
not a good year for you. 1992, by the way, also was, remember, we also had, like, another, like, mini recession there.
Uh-huh.
Because that's why George H.W. Bush lost, because it's the economy, stupid, was a big part of Clinton's message.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't doing great in 1992. So Dave shows up and teaches people how to tackle their debt.
Okay.
Again, he starts out as a free guest. He slowly becomes a regular with three other hosts. slowly over time, he takes over the show and it's his show. And it goes from whatever it used to be called to being called the Dave Ramsey Show. 2 years later, by 1994, Dave rolls out his video courses.
Oh, how much do they cost?
Let's see. I don't have an exact price, but it was a 9-tape course.
Oh my God, you have to buy VHS tapes. Perfect.
He would tell you about it on the radio, and then he would go send a check or CD to blah 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 to get to sign up. So it's a 9-tape subscription for all 9. And basically, it's a Zoom course. That's all it is. It's the same grift. It's a by-mail university. That's right. He called it a university Financial Peace University. And again, it has an overarching Christian conservative messaging. And this is around the time. By 94, this is when he starts to get embraced by Pat Robertson and James Dobson and other people in that grift circle. And to this day, if you go to his offices, Dave Ramsey has pictures of him like shaking their hands the way you would like shaking the hands of a president.
Okay.
Because again, also in Dave's world, Dave, again, is a radio personality first over everything else now. Dave is a radio personality. That's all he cares about. And the reason why he has become such a big financial guru is a lot of people who listen to Dave, they are listening to Sin Eating and Confessions. Because when you listen to a show, you're hearing somebody call and be like, Dave, I got an $800,000 house. Well, you need to sell that house. Because they're listening. Like, you're not in debt because of the world around you.
Yeah.
You're doing better than this fucking idiot who's so desperate they have to call into Dave Ramsey. Yeah. And they're going to tell the world their sins. And Dave's going to absolve them of their financial sins by setting them on a path. Dave is then going to hand them off to people in his company, which is now, by 2014, called Ramsey Solutions, where they can walk you through debt restructuring and other things and get you talking to real financial advisors and other people. Yep. And now Dave has built a whole empire with other personalities on his show and through his website. And all of this has begun to be tied through churches, because the churches are now offering Dave Ramsey courses and Dave Ramsey events at these mega churches, because you're not just joining the church for community and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, you're also joining it for all the services that each of these churches have. Not only do they have a Christian coffee shop and a youth group, they also, have you been having problems with debt? Well, you know, twice a year, Dave Ramsey comes through, and for $29.99, you can sit in our 4,000-seat auditorium here in Nashville, and Dave Ramsey will let you confess to him live for 5 hours. As you sit through his meeting.
This is hell. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there a part in the Bible where they talk about how debtors aren't even supposed to have percentages on loans? Like, you're not supposed to hold debt against people?
So
wouldn't it be more of a Christian value to discuss removing debts?
So one thing that Dave does like to point out, because again, I read this in one of the random articles, because they brought that up to him. And he pointed out, he was like, don't nitpick the Bible at me.
I'm not nitpicking. It's in there.
I know. That's what Dave's reaction was. He goes, I get tired of people sending me emails like this. I tell them not to nitpick the Bible.
Did Jesus or did he not flip the tables of the bankers?
Okay, listen, you're taking things out of context.
I'm not. I promise you, I didn't. We've made a lot of jokes about my education on this here podcast.
Yep.
We've talked a lot about Catholic schooling. I didn't learn a lot of stuff, but I learned a lot about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember most of it because it's all mishmashed in there with other traumas. But listen, I recall that debt itself and bankers are not beloved.
Mm.
They're not beloved by the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, you might think about things like, you know, the a rich guy getting into heaven, the eye of the needle, all that stuff.
I feel like they said he wasn't getting into heaven.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying the whole camel through an eye of a needle, like all that stuff. Like Dave just bristles at it. He goes, nah, that's not what they're talking about. Dave counts on people not actually reading.
I didn't know that when you said, when you were like Ramsey, I was like, Gordon Ramsey? I thought we were talking about a British dude yelling. I was like, bet, I love this.
No.
This is a worse Ramsey than Gordon, because Gordon's actually likable. He just yells about shit like every other chef in the world. But then they talk to him and he's like, well, you know, it's fine. And you're like, okay. But this guy seems like he talks really nice at people sometimes and then yells at them about other stuff.
He's kind of, he'll be affable. to bring them in, but then he gets bored, so then he just berates them and
also,
hangs up with
them. Also, I was thinking that what you were describing where people are calling in just so they can listen to other people's drama, because that's what it is. To them, they're experiencing this like drama. They're like, oh my God, he's going to lose his house and his wife. Oh my God, drama.
Yeah.
It's like those podcasts where people read Am I the Asshole posts from Reddit.
100%.
It's that.
It's that, except you're actually hearing from the asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the asshole's calling in.
Yeah.
And again, these are people who are desperate. The people who are calling in are desperate. They're in desperate straits.
Yeah.
And that, what the ghost handed us at the beginning,
yeah,
that was the old disclaimer at the end of Dave's show.
Hold the fuck on. So you're telling me he had people calling in these desperate circumstances, asking for help and solutions. And then at the end of the show, he was like, also, don't really take my advice because it doesn't really count. Blah, 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 blah.
You should speak to a financial advisor.
Wow.
Because the show's for entertainment purposes only.
Wow. Okay.
Made $200 million on this. And Dave has even pointed out that his whole thing about the snowball debt method.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's such a simple thing. And he's like, I've been able to really stretch this out. I've made a lot of money on people not understanding this basic idea of not getting too much debt. He has admitted that like what he is explaining to people is simplified. Because again, this is part of the conservative mindset too, of like, this simple thing works, so it should work for you. And again, that might not be your circumstance. Dave, over time, got syndicated in Gannett newspapers. They are the parent company that owns USA Today, as well as dozens and dozens of local newspapers across the country, including some newspapers in Nashville and some others. That relationship ended in 2004. Dave was caught using fake names that he was responding to in the articles for advice.
He started writing his own?
Yeah, he was doing like a date, Dear Abby. It just kept saying that he was using fake names. I don't know if he was faking the letters he was receiving or if he was changing information or something about that. But Gannett was like, we're done. And Dave's like, I'll pay for it. And they're like, fuck off, Dave.
Yeah.
That should have cut him off, but it didn't. It didn't. He just kept going. In 2007, Dave Ramsey landed a deal with Fox Business. For 3 years, he aired on the Fox Business Network during the height of the Great Recession from 2007 to 2010. He has still been featured back across Fox and CBS News more recently over and over and over again. CBS News really likes Dave Ramsey because, again, a lot of these channels, especially post like 2018, 2019, they all kind of leaned into this weird, like, we want to bring the Trump voters back to TV because they've lost so many viewers.
Well, they're busy being on QAnon and websites.
Yeah, I know. But also so many people like us millennials who are living in our mom's basement refuse to work and go get a real house. All of us don't watch TV anymore. So they're all looking for, like, who are people still watching? And Dave Ramsey is one of those people that people are still tuning into the radio for.
Who are we still watching? Oh, the Scottish guy. That's the only TV show we've watched in probably 6 months.
Which Scottish guy?
The Among Us show.
Traitors. We watched three episodes.
That's the only TV show we've watched in 6 months.
But every time we've tried to sit down and watch it now, the baby just starts screaming.
Alan Cummings. I was like, when was the last time we turned on the TV?
Okay.
It was Alan Cummings.
We're gonna take a quick break here in a second, but real fast, I just want to tell everybody. I put on Traitors because I was like, I like Alan Cummings. And I realized
his outfits are incredible.
It's incredible. However, if you ever watch this show, watch it as a parody of every other fucking reality show because it's so crazy. And everyone that's on it has been on other reality shows. And then there's like three random people who haven't been who I feel so bad for. There'll be like three random persons. Like, what is this person?
What's that guy, Kronk? He's just wandering around. Anyway, if we could watch TV again, I'd watch the fourth episode.
Yeah, when the baby will let us. It's on Peacock. But yeah, all right, let's take a quick break. When I come back, I'll tell you some controversies with Dave Ramsey.
I already have controversies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So, Mrs. P, let's go over some controversies, then I'm going to walk you through the 7 baby steps how to become a millionaire.
Oh my God.
I have them all.
When I learned to walk. So, before we get the controversies, just on that statement alone, I'm assuming if he's so good at making people millionaires, there's like a lot of like videos and radio callers who have been like, thank you so much. I'm a millionaire now, Dave Ramsey.
There are some people.
Who are they?
I don't know. But there are some. But they're just like, they're not anybody famous or anything like that. It's just like random people. And a lot of times, like when you listen to them, like they would have been just by not getting so many credit cards. Like that's really what it really comes down to. Again, just like Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson's bullshit of take a shower and clean your room and leave your house, is not wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of these self-help gurus, they all do the same thing.
But
we've been over this.
Have you ever considered putting on a suit that makes you look like Two-Face and doing a couple benzos?
I love that you said Two-Face and not the Riddler. I'm a big Two-Face fan.
Anyway.
But no, but that's the thing with all of these guys, and we've been over this on the show.
Okay, controversies.
Every time we've opened up a tab about any of these gurus and these grifters and these sons of bitches out there who've made all this money, it's always the same thing. They always say the most basic shit with confidence.
Yep.
And then people who, for whatever reason, never heard the most basic shit end up going, that's pretty good. And then before you know it, these guys amass a huge amount of wealth.
Yep.
Right. And then they have to keep going. And then inevitably, there's a sex cult in enemas. Like, I don't know why. And I'm not saying that happened with Dave Ramsey. I'm not saying that Dave Ramsey runs a sex cult with
it. What did happen with Dave Ramsey?
So in 2014, Dave Ramsey, as I told you, he's on the Facebook.
Yep.
And the Twitter.
Of course.
And in 2014, some anonymous posts popped up on both Facebook and Twitter. And on those posts, they said that Ramsey Solutions, because he had renamed the company, Ramsey Solutions, wasn't a great place to work. It talked about like some office drama.
Ooh, Glassdoor.com.
Yeah, basically. Dave did not like this. Dave does not like a bad review.
He can't take critical feedback at all?
Constructive criticism?
No.
No. Dave can give it out. Dave can dish it out to strangers on the phone.
Really mean.
He can tell them straight up, you're being lazy.
Yeah. But if somebody's like, hey, you're kind of a toxic
person. Yeah, it's a toxic work environment. So Dave's way of dealing with this was pulling large groups of people into in-person staff meetings and repeating to them what he had read on Facebook. This was all in a Daily Beast article. He made it clear to everyone that not only had Dave seen what they had written, but Dave himself had infiltrated the Facebook groups that were talking shit. He began to read and tell the staff the exact quotes that people had written online. And then he offered money for the anonymous posters' identities.
Damn. Yo, he really can't take the heat.
And then he pulled out a gun.
What? Yo. I want to tell you something about small dick energy. Don't hit that allegedly button.
According to the Daily Beast article, he pulled out a gun, quote, to teach a lesson about gossip. This has come up in multiple lawsuits against Dave because it is something that gets under his skin more than, and this one Daily Beast article bugs him so fucking much because I think in his mind until this moment, it was like the USA Today Gannett newspaper thing.
Yep.
And then these were like his two things. He could spin the bankruptcy from 1986. Yeah. He had gotten over that. But these were part of the radio.
Are you saying that the Lord didn't call him to bring a firearm to a staff meeting?
He pulled it out of a gym bag, I think. Like he pulls a gun out.
As God would.
Yes, God would.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Okay, so that was in 2014.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
An aside, a little tab to open. Did you hear about what Glassdoor is doing, by the way?
No, what is Glassdoor doing?
Okay, so Glassdoor, which for those that don't know, God bless you, is a website where people go and leave reviews about their former employers.
Yeah.
And then, so like if you're looking at a company when you're applying, you can see what people that have already worked there.
And have left, yeah.
Have they left, what they'll say about the job, the environment, and sometimes the salary, right? And what happened is, I believe Glassdoor got purchased by private equity.
Oh.
And now they've made it so that the employers, the big companies, can just remove any negative reviews. So like if it's like, say, who's a big guy? Comcast. So if Comcast gets a lot of bad reviews about their work environment, they can actually just email Glassdoor and say, hey, can you pull those down? And they'll just pull them down. And then they also at the same time made it so that it's, you can no longer do anonymous reviews. So like if you go in, you have to log into Glassdoor. And like it used to be like you're just your email and your name, and like you can make a fake email and you can make a fake name.
Yeah.
But like you have to now prove that
you work there.
And when you authenticate it, it won't let you leave it anonymously. It'll say like Jim Smith left this review and we confirmed he worked there. And so then it's like, oh, really, Jim Smith? And so, like, the company can come after you for libel or slander or whatever. And so, like, basically Glassdoor is dead. Because if you can't use it for what it was supposed to be, which is, like, what the environment of working in a place is like, because now they can just change it.
Basically, they've double yelped.
They've double yelped.
Yeah, because not only... Yeah, I bet I'm... I'll hit it on this one.
Allegedly.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
In my conjecture,
yeah.
If I was this company,
mm-hmm.
what I would do if I was Glassdoor and owned by private equity, I would offer a payment plan for these companies to get the concierge service to remove the negative reviews.
That's probably what's happening.
I would actually do the reverse.
God bless you.
I wouldn't actually make everybody log in. I would actually up the negatives and then have these companies pay me to remove them, which is what Yelp did.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So, and now nobody uses Yelp. Nobody does.
No.
Nobody uses Yelp. I don't have to use
Honestly,
Yelp.
Honestly, if you look at Yelp, only the wildest people are on Yelp. Because it's like a 6-page.
No.
They wouldn't let my dog into the restaurant. And you're like, what? Your dog? What?
I use Google reviews. I don't believe anything that's under a 3. Like, I'll go to Google. Because if it's a 1, it's been review bombed.
Yeah.
If it's a 1. If we're like a 3.5. 3.5? All right. If it's at 5, I look at the number.
Yeah.
I'm like, if it's at 5 and we have over 1,000 reviews, then you might be actually excellent.
I will tell you, okay, but, we are, this is the third tab I'm going to open on this that is not related to Dave Ramsey. If you want a good time, if you're having a good time and you want to read drama, like you're calling in to Dave Ramsey, read the Google reviews on your local courthouses. Because let me tell you, every once in a while I open up a Google review on like, the local courthouse. There's civil court, there's family court.
Yeah.
Open them up and read what people write in the Google reviews of court because they tell their entire story.
Yeah.
And then I commit it and they admit to crimes. Their whole name is there. I crack up laughing because it'll say like Jim Smith. And then the cop came over and did this, this, and this. And all I said was, yeah, I did it, but I didn't think. And it's, and then they're calling the judge names and they put the judge's full name and their clerk's name. It's like, honestly, it's like Donald Trump on.
Honestly? Honestly? Hold on. No. You're giving me a good idea. This might be a future show.
Of you just reading the court?
This could be a spinoff right here.
Just us reading them?
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Reading Google reviews of very specific places does bring me a lot of joy.
Places that you can't review.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't be reviewing a court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and if the court stenographer rolled her eyes at me and I was just like, oh wow, we're calling her out? It's an incredible time.
Okay. All right.
Let's
bring it back.
Ramsey.
Since you brought up court, though,
yeah.
Dave has had multiple federal discrimination lawsuits filed against him.
This is a shock.
By former employees.
Okay.
So the first one that I found that was a big one was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Due to COVID.
Okay.
All right. So Dave had a few thoughts about COVID.
Oh, let me guess. He was like, let's wear our masks. Let's think about our community and protecting each other so that people that may be at risk don't get sick.
You know what? That's a good thought. On opposite day, when you're on the top of opposite debt mountain.
Damn.
Okay? Because Dave's told people to pray to ward away the disease.
Makes sense.
He also demanded that employees should not work from home. They had to come to the building.
Yep. Okay.
He also tried to put on multiple events at big staff meetings.
Yeah, of course.
When he hired caterers, booked a hotel. The hotel ended up canceling the meeting out of fear of safety.
For sure.
But before that, he then moved it from the hotel to his offices where he hired new caterers. And those caterers alleged that Dave would not let them wear gloves, masks, or the face protective face shields because, quote, that would be a sign of fear.
Okay, I'm going to, as someone who did catering with you for years, we wore gloves before COVID.
Yeah, I know.
You want to wear gloves, y'all.
You want gloves.
You want gloves. the gloves were there pre-COVID. The masks.
Yeah.
You put them on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Dave, again, was beginning to be part of this conservative, grumpy, older man. Everyone's participation trophies. Oh, my God, you're all afraid of the flu type of, it's just a little cold bullshit.
They know that we didn't give ourselves the trophies, right?
Dave,
anyway.
Dave did have a lawsuit filed against him by one of his former employees. It was actually a religious discrimination lawsuit. The employee stated that Dave discriminated against his religion of not putting his family at risk for COVID.
That was my religion as well.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
And basically what happened is because people had to be there in the office, he alleges, this employee alleges that Dave knew of, and his staff and executives knew of multiple people who had COVID, did not inform the staff. So there were multiple COVID outbreaks.
Allegedly.
Again, this is according to the lawsuit. And this employee's wife and daughter are both immunocompromised. And so Dave would not let him work from home and black and blah, blah, blah. And Dave specifically told that staff member to just pray. If you pray hard enough, the virus won't affect your family.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, is not true.
What?
So now.
Okay, wait. Is that lawsuit still going? Do we know?
I couldn't find if these have been
settled. Oh, he probably settled out of court.
I can't find anything about
it. If you can't find it, it got settled quietly.
Yeah, well, I can't find anything. Mm. But the next one, Dave was sued for firing a gay employee.
Oh, shit.
Again, allegedly. They went back around about this one. But don't worry. He doesn't just fire people from being gay. He'll also fire you for getting pregnant out of wedlock.
Allegedly.
Now, this is not hypocritical.
Okay.
Okay? Because during that pregnancy out of wedlock firing, during the, what's the word? Discovery.
Yeah.
It was discovered that there was another on-air personality that works for Ramsey Solution named Chris Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was alleged during that and through some communications they found that Ramsey Solutions was covering up Chris Hogan's multiple extramarital affairs.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
But nobody got pregnant. So, you know, that's different. That employee is just, you know.
That checks out.
A Jezebel. So that's the bigger controversies that were listed.
So we're running our company like it's still 1950.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So just so you know, just a little bit about Dave's success.
Mm-hmm.
Over 400,000 people have come to his live events over the years.
Okay.
340,000 families have completed his Financial Peace University courses.
Yeah.
He has 5 books. One place I found it said 5 books for adults and 6 books for kids, but Amazon said 8. Some of those are workbooks, though.
Books for kids?
Yeah, he's written 6 children's books about finances.
Okay, here's the thing. Number one, I do think we should teach kids about financial literacy.
Yeah.
It's something that we don't talk about enough with kids so that when they, you know, get into the teen years, they really don't have a general understanding, which is why college stuff is so predatory when it comes to money.
Yep.
I do believe that. I don't think this man should be writing kids' books.
It does remind me a lot of when I worked at Borders Books.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest fights I ever got in with my manager was I refused to shelve the O'Reilly Factor for kids in the kids section.
Oh my God.
Bill O'Reilly wrote multiple children's books.
He shouldn't be allowed around children at all.
No, he should only be allowed around loofahs. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Bill O'Reilly, and I refused to shelve it.
Yeah.
I was very high at the time.
You were working at Borders.
I was working at Borders. It was 2004. I was smoking a lot of grass, y'all. Because that's what I did. I would get...
Well, how old were you? Like 20-something?
I was like 20.
2004. New statement. Maybe this is controversial, yet brave. I think that until you're 20, I don't know, 8, be high at your job.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it depends, depends on the industry.
Well,
if you're driving...
If If you're driving?
Yeah, well, I'm saying if you're driving, if your job is driving something.
Okay, if your job is driving.
You know, or a forklift operating.
Or if you got a forklift operator certification, you know better. But.
Listen, you're thinking of stuff like.
Barista.
Yeah.
Server, bartender, Borders Books, anything retail. If you're at an H&M, if you're in a mall, if you are doing anything where you're in customer service, be high. That's fine.
Unless I expect you, you to be honestly.
And if
I'm
not,
more shocked when I reach a customer service rep that isn't high, I'm like, where are we?
Yeah, and I'm
is this what is this, the Marriott Bonvoy?
And as someone who is sober,
yeah,
I'm still just like, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. Here's the one place I don't want you to be high.
Where?
I don't want you to be high at the Wendy's at 1:30 p.m. when I can finally go there to get my now it's a $5 biggie bag because of inflation, Joe Biden.
I don't think Joe
And then they
is
get it wrong because I'm always like, no tomatoes. And then there's always tomatoes.
So 400,000 people attended this event. So you're telling me there's 400,000 more millionaires?
Yes. That's what Dave Ramsey and Jesus Christ want you to know about. A lot of them died of COVID. The so he's written 6 books for kids. Dave Ramsey has 4.7 million followers on Instagram. And he has 3 million YouTube subscribers.
Okay, everyone listen to me right now. We need to beat Dave Ramsey in Instagram followers immediately. We need to get a higher number of Instagram followers.
So let me go. So I looked up. I'm like, what's his whole program? Because again, Dave has admitted that he's saying the same thing over. He's been saying the same thing since 1992.
Yeah.
He just occasionally puts it in a different font. Sometimes he underlines it. Sometimes it's italics. But it's really the same.
Over and over.
Over and over steps. So these are Dave's baby steps.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay?
I'm going to be so financially literate after
I
this.
Found these on capitalism.com.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I am not.
I did not know that was a website.
I did not know either, but when I found capitalism.com, I went, So baby step number one, save $1,000 for your starter emergency fund.
That implies there's another one. Okay, go ahead.
But also like $1,000 isn't enough anymore.
No, that's not. What did we say? What's the?
Also, you can save.
The right.
What am I saving for my caviar here, Dave Ramsey? You piece of shit. But no, that's what his first step, and it's always been $1,000. That has not changed.
He hasn't upped it.
It didn't used to be $500 and went to $1,000. Like with inflation now,
$1,000 isn't honestly a lot of people's 1 month expenses.
I would say $2,500. At this point,
maybe.
if you can, again, yeah. It's if you can. So that's baby step number one.
Okay, baby step
Put $1,000. Baby step number two, pay off all debt except the house using the debt snowball.
Okay, so but do pay all debt except for that $1,000.
So this was the, I actually pulled this block just in case I did not explain it well last time. Okay. Ready? So number one, save the $1,000.
I'm saving the $1,000.
Next, it's time to pay off the cards, the credit cards, and the student loans. By the way, Dave is huge against student loans. He's also huge against student loan debt forgiveness and any other different side of that thing.
How are people getting college educations to get these good jobs to pay off all their debts?
They should get a job and work through college like Dave did.
Dave, not all of our parents were millionaire home flippers, Dave.
So you start by listing all of your debts except for your mortgage. Put them in order by balance from smallest to most enormous. That's their exact, not smallest
most
to biggest.
Most enormous? That
Again,
doesn't feel like proper
this
English.
This feels like AI. Regardless of interest rate. They make a big deal regardless of interest
That's
rate.
That's so dumb.
Pay minimum payments on everything but the smallest one. Attack that one with a vengeance. Once it's gone, take that payment and put it towards the second smallest debt, making minimum payments on the rest. That's what's called the debt snowball method, and you'll use it to knock out your debts one by one.
It's literally just, okay, that's just how you complete a to-do list with ADHD, is you write out your to-do list,
yeah,
and then you find the first 2 to 3 things that are the easiest things to do. Vacuum, do the laundry, feed the dog. I don't know. You pick 3 things, you get them done real quick, and then you scratch them off your list because we're using pen and paper in this scenario.
Yep.
And
then it feels good.
And then you look at your list and you go, look at those things I got done. I can now start to work on do the taxes.
Yeah.
Because you can't just go do the taxes because your brain is going to be like, well, we still have to do the laundry.
Yeah.
And look at how big this list is. I'm overwhelmed. I need to go lay down, take a nap.
Yep.
He's just doing that.
Yeah.
But with your money, when realistically it would be a better idea to go after the higher APR one.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Anyway, what's number 3?
Because also the other thing, too, is this doesn't take into account a raising rate environment.
No.
It doesn't. In a falling rate environment, what Dave is saying might be fine, because also if you refinance, he also is like very weird about like refinancing and restructuring the debt.
Hold on. Again,
he wants you just to pay it off.
We're never going to get through this list because I have another thought process that just popped in my head. Okay. This is very religious. This is very Christian oriented, right? A lot of Christian people believe the apocalypse is coming and the end times is near. Why the fuck should I be paying off debt if God's coming and we're all going to die anyway?
That's honestly slowly been my feeling about global warming.
Yeah.
There's been times where I was...
If the end times are near...
But again, yes, 100%. This goes back to my conspiracy theory about Dave and credit card companies and payday lenders, right? Because if I believe that the next eclipse, we're all going to die, then why am I even making my minimum payments?
Who cares?
Track me down.
Find me.
Garnish my wages, fuckers. Anyway, this is not financial advice.
Don't listen to us.
So here's the thing. So that was step one and two.
Okay.
Step one is $1,000. Step two, pay off all debt. Mm-hmm. Step three then, now, by step three, save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency account.
Oh my God. Okay.
Step four
is
invest 15% of your household income into retirement.
Household income into retirement. Okay, I have this sneaking suspicion that in Dave's world, it's a single income household.
Step five
is
save for your children's college fund.
But he just, I get it. You have to have college money from your parents or it doesn't count.
Or else you didn't have good parents.
Okay.
Because your parents were sinners.
Because they were, okay, they weren't good. Got it.
Step six is pay off your home early.
Okay, now I got to pay off my home early.
Right. And now step seven, now that we've done all of that.
Relax, retire.
Now you can build off your wealth and give it away and do whatever you want. Now you should give towards people and help the Lord.
Okay. I don't recall.
Dave's method here is putting your gas mask on, your air mask on, before helping the child as the plane's about to crash.
That is appropriate.
Yeah.
You should, of course, put your air, your air mask on before you put on the child's, because if you're not breathing, you can't help them breathe. Mm-hmm. I completely understand that. And that's sometimes how I'm like, I need to give myself coffee before I can handle this baby, because I need to put the air mask on for myself.
Yep.
I get it. But I think in this scenario, being godlike should be a little bit higher on the list than seven.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it should be somewhere close to the
top. It's the last thing. Because
aren't you supposed to give like 10%?
Depends on the church. Tithing depends on the church.
Tithing, that's the word. Tithing. Yeah.
But this is very... But again, now you see... Now where this is different from prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel would put baby step seven, would be baby step one.
Yeah.
Right? In this version, you are building your prosperity by cutting all these other things. So when Dave hears people, when they call him with all their problems, what he basically tells them is, you are never going to eat out again until you've paid off X amount of debt. You're not going on vacation again until you've done all these different things. You're going to work harder. You're going to sell this thing over here. You're going to go through your house and have a yard sale. You're going to do all these different things to cut these. And not one of them is ever, you're going to talk to a financial advisor who's going to walk you through bankruptcy.
So... Okay, so these seven steps, based on what everything you just said, this could take decades.
This could take decades. Yeah.
So Ramsey wants me, let's say I have a lot of debt. He wants me to not eat out, not go out, not do anything, not spend any money for, let's say, 20 years.
Well, because all pleasure is actually a sin in the finance world.
Got it. So we're not doing anything. We're
but
not
pay off
living
our debt.
A human life. We're going to work, eating at home, going to bed, waking up, doing it over and over again for 20-some years.
Sometimes you don't need to eat.
Oh, you're right. I forgot we were not eating sometimes.
Sometimes not eating and just going to bed is the better thing to do.
We're going to wake up 25 years later, maybe have successfully got this all done. Then we can start giving back to our community, going out with our friends.
Oh, but you also forgot that then is when we start to invest our household income in retirement.
We haven't invested in retirement.
You have to pay off all debt first and then you invest.
Okay. this, I want to be honest, I could be 20 years into this seven-step program and get hit by a fucking bus and not have lived my life at all.
That's actually a very interesting point because Dave never takes medical debt into account. Dave never takes inflation into account. There's so many things that Dave doesn't take into account because, again, conservative Christian mindset, one size fits all, does not fit all people. There's always going to be people whose lives are that take a different shape, that have different outside things, which is why, to everyone out there, this is the only piece of advice I would tell you, which is go speak to an actual financial advisor, and when you're speaking to them, be honest. If you are a member of a credit union, oftentimes credit unions will have free financial advisors that can discuss
That's
with you.
That's the first step. Join a credit union.
Join a credit union, but there are people in your life and there's people around that can get you in the right direction.
Yeah.
If any of these different things are say, hey, come to my class.
Nope.
Don't do it.
Red flag.
Okay? All of these things, anything having to do with selling you something, you don't want to do.
You don't want to buy yourself out of debt.
No.
That's not it. Also, I had two thoughts. Number one, like you're saying, he's not taking into account the way that people live. He's not taking into account people that don't have enough to even begin this process.
No.
He's not taking into account that you'd want to live a human life.
Yeah.
And have human experiences and that things would happen. Like,
but imagine if you're 60 trying to tackle debt, and by step five, it's save for your children's college fund. You're like, yeah. I don't have kids, or my kids are grown now. Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It so
it's like, okay, well, you skip that step. But there's all these different things as you go down this where you're like, this does not make, like, the reason why millennials especially fucking hate this man is like, when I entered the workforce, the Great Recession happened. So I was already 10 years behind Dave's plan.
Yeah.
I'm 10 years behind the fucking eight ball. There's all these other things. Like, I've always been very, very debt adverse because of my past when I worked a little bit in banking.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also never claimed to be a fucking financial advisor because I used to answer the phone, you know, when people were like, hey, what's my password to my online banking? I'm like, oh, it's this. I don't then, because whenever somebody reaches out to me like, oh, I need, what do I do about this? I'm like, talk to someone else.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody who has actual experience.
I would also say, jumping off of what you just said, I know I read the ghost prophecy legal disclaimer. If you are someone who has debt issue, like everyone has debt, like whatever, we all have debt.
Yeah.
But if it's really something that's like really bogging you down and hurting your life, reach out to programs that help. I know in Philly and Pennsylvania area, we have a nonprofit called Clarify.
Mm-hmm.
And Clarify will help people restructure their debt, and they'll reach out to their credit people for you, and their advocates go and make all the phone calls and do all the planning with you, and like it's a very detailed process to help people.
Yep.
And there, because like there's the other side of it is that like people will Google like debt relief program, and then more scammers will come up where they're like, oh yeah, just sign up with us, and then they get all your credit card information and they've opened another credit card in your name, and then you've signed a contract that, you know, you're paying $500 every 6 months for this credit rehabilitation when there's nonprofit programs that do it for free.
Yep.
So definitely do your research, reach out to your credit union that you could, if you have availability, join one. Because this is so predatory and insane. And I started this episode mad, and I'm only madder.
Yeah. But that's the end of the episode.
He's making it so that, like, if I follow this program, we wouldn't be able to, like, go out on a date night.
No.
And I need a date night. I just found out they just opened one of those sushi restaurants where like the sushi's moving by you the whole time.
Oh, on the little conveyor belt?
The little conveyor belt sushis.
Dave Ramsey said that's a sin.
I don't give a fuck.
What's the other thing too is Dave goes on and on and on about like just so many different things because he's just such a fucking boomer.
Yeah.
And so to anyone who by listening to this episode, I have now put Dave Ramsey into your algorithms. I apologize.
Mm.
But if you're ever looking at like Yahoo News, especially, they or anything on finance stuff, anything that is very surface level, if you're ever looking at something, be like, I wonder if this is like good financial advice. If you see Dave Ramsey anywhere near it,
probably bad.
Just know that you are looking at a data scraping website.
Because
Dave, like I said, he is like one of those other, I'm trying to think of like a different industry where there's like a name that kind of like pops up. Where it's like people know what that is, so they just associate. Like if I was like looking for good restaurants and they plastered Gordon Ramsay's face all around the edges. Like I've never been to a Gordon Ramsay. I'm sure he's a good chef.
Sure.
But like, I'm not.
He's not like Jamie Oliver terrible.
No. All right, so with that, Mrs. P, we are going to now thank our Patreons have helped us hit our limit.
We hit our, not our limit.
Our goal.
Whoa, we're not limiting ourselves.
No, no.
Okay, financial guru's been born, baby.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a lot of names to thank, so many of them, and we will announce who the 750th Patreon
was. I was tracking it.
Yeah, we made a note. We will thank that person shortly, along with everybody else, so stay tuned.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Pearlmania, 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 Pearlmania.
500. We are back.
Yep.
Mrs. P.
We're here.
We're here. We're excited. We are just over the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many different names we want to go through here. There is 39, actually 40.
Whoop.
People who joined this week to get us to our goal.
I don't think they wanted to get us to our goal as much as they wanted to get you into a book.
Well, I'm going to get into this book. And it's so funny that this is, I was thinking about it. This is kind of like that old Pizza Hut thing where you have to read the book to get the personal pan.
Yeah.
That's like this for me. As people are like, all right, listen, if enough of us come together,
we're
going to
get a personal
book.
Book it. They're called Book It.
All right. So let's go ahead and start off. We have Anthony Revenaugh.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Christina.
With a K.
After that, we have Christina.
With a C.
After that, we have Carrie Kinsey.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Lady J.
Oh, hey, hon.
All right. After this, we have Lindsay Gancaz.
Hey, hon.
I'm guessing.
Sure.
It's had that SZ at the end. It's just Polish. It's like a Polish name, man. They have so many consonants in there. After that, we have Joanna Hall.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Michelle Sanchez.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Heather.
Hey, Heather.
Then we have Kenzie.
Hey, Heather. I mean, Kenzie. Hey,
you just got happy to say hey Heather twice.
No, you know what happened is I started picturing the movie Heathers. And my brain literally just was like Winona Ryder. And then
do you remember when they remade Heathers and they tried to make it like an anti-woke thing?
I do not remember when they remade Heathers.
Yeah, I think it was like 2019 or 2020. But they were like, now the mean people at high schools are gay. And they were like, they're gay and they're large.
What?
Yeah, it was like really bad. I felt really bad for everybody involved with it because it was like, hey, we need a job. And then they like, this is what they were handed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to watch it to find out.
All right. Next one we have my_wife_is_making_me_do_this.
Hey, hon.
My wife is making me do this. Yeah, sure, buddy. You know what's funny?
That's what you say about reading this book.
Oh.
Hey.
I had a note up here. Where'd that note go?
There
was a little
know.
Sticky note over here. Well, because I was talking to somebody and they were like, you know what your podcast is? I was like, what? They're like, your podcast is like a podcast that couples can listen together on long drives.
Yeah.
I was like, we're a good travel couple podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's a lot of podcasts where like one person like, you know, like, Like if I was to go put on one of those dude bro podcasts, you would instantly just get so mad.
Yeah.
And if you put on like Australian women talking about gossip, I would get so mad.
How dare you?
You love an Australian woman talking about gossip.
I love Australian women talking about gossip.
Though now I've gotten super into Australian gay men talking about movies.
See,
it's elite.
You're getting into it.
There's something about Australia. The way they say no.
You know.
After that, we have Vicky Shimmer.
Hey, hon.
Or maybe Vicky Shimer? Okay. After that, we have Shelby.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Kayla Richmond.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Choofed.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what Choofed means,
it.
But I'm
hey, hon.
After that, we have Nerdy Yarning.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Naya L.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Gimme underscore my underscore airhorn underscore 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 please.
Hey, hon. All the air horns, you got them.
After that, we have Doc Squid 23.
Hey, hon.
I don't know. That name makes me feel weird.
Doc Squid 23?
Just talking about Doc Squid.
Dr. Squid. That's how I read it. Dr. Squid.
I would not. He'd become an gynecologist.
Isn't Squidward a doctor? No.
No, that was.
That one Futurama.
Yeah, Squidward. No, not Squidward. Zoidberg.
Zoidberg. He's a squid doctor.
I can't believe that baby rotted our brains.
It's fine.
I forgot who Zoidberg was for a minute. After that, we have Carrie Lessons.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Kara Davis.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Leilani Lopez.
Oh, hey, hon.
After that, we have Lizzie Liberty.
It's a great wrestling name. Hey, hon.
That's an amazing name. After that, we have Alyssa Fonsbeck.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Aurelia's Art on Etsy.
Oh, that sounds like a plug.
That's
I love
definitely
it.
A plug.
I'm going to look it up.
Look it up.
Hey, hon.
All right, I'm going to look it up, too. Let's look it up. Aurelia's Art on Etsy. Let me see. Aurelia Art. Here we go.
Cute.
Let me see. Where are the products?
No, you can see them right there.
Where am I clicking here?
The whole banner is products.
Oh. I just see. It just took me straight to reviews. I was looking for the actual things to click on.
It says right there, she's on a short break. So I think she's not making anything right
now. Oh. Well, way to plug it while you're on a break, Aurelia.
I love that. Listen, take a break. Recuperate.
Anyway, Aurelia's Art on Etsy. You know
hey,
what? I'm going to give you.
Air horn.
After that, we have Savannah Couples.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have, I'm not saying it's a pyramid, but it's a pyramid scheme.
Hey, hon. Yeah, it is.
After that, oh, hey, it's Gears.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Catherine Dilks.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Mrs. underscore P underscore made underscore my underscore accent underscore stronger.
I apologize. I do have that effect. And when I go home with my family, it does get stronger as well.
After that, we have Dylan Riley.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have making underscore N underscore extra underscore account underscore four underscore horny underscore fairy underscore book.
Perfect.
They made an extra account
I
just to
that.
Force me to read. After that, we have Patron of Chaos.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Cthulhu.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Amy Williamson.
Hey, Amy.
After that, we have Veronica Letters.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have subbing underscore because underscore I underscore couldn't underscore get underscore through underscore it underscore comma underscore but underscore now underscore you underscore have underscore two.
Incredible. I love that.
You couldn't read the book, but now you subbed just to force me to read it so that
way
you would know how
it is. That's the kind of energy I'm bringing every day of my life. And I love that we're doing this together as a team.
After that, we have Jordan Weeks.
Hey, hon.
We have a returning name here.
Okay.
All right. We have poop underscore poopy underscore poopin underscore poop underscore poops underscore pooper underscore poopay underscore poopoo.
They would love Thanksgiving.
They've returned.
They would love Thanksgiving dinner.
And now, are you ready for our 750th Patreon's name?
Yes.
Because I'm sure they were sitting there waiting for it. They're like, where's my name? My name should have come up by now.
Yeah.
Well, to our 750th Patreon, Georgia. Sweet Georgia. That's right. Georgia is our 750th Patreon.
Let's go.
That's right. That's right.
I saw the email. I screenshotted it. I sent it to you. And I said, this is Georgia. Georgia's 750.
And I want to say,
get the book. Let's go.
Patreon is so fucking weird, though, because it doesn't actually tell us the total update until like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a lot of changes to Patreon in the last like few months.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks in some ways for us as like how we decide we use it. But we want to thank everybody who's joined on the other side. And we are getting together a lot more content and a lot more fun things that we are going to keep bringing over to the Patreon. Mrs. P just gave me a really awesome idea for something. And we'll see what we do with that.
Okay.
And yeah, there's a lot going on. We have a lot of different moves that are happening right now. I have my shows starting tonight. Mm-hmm. We have more shows that are going to be happening through June, July, and September.
A wild summer.
And I am beginning to add more dates already. I've made a few offers from different clubs. And so I've been looking around where people have been begging me to come. And we are trying to figure that out.
Begging is a strong word. They're bullying you. They're bullying you. And they're saying, you get down here.
Yeah,
you get
true.
Over here.
Get over here.
And I'm like, you're going to do what they say.
My fans are Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. But
Scorpios? Yes.
Scorpion.
Nope, Scorpios.
All right. Get over here.
Exactly.
Mrs. P, do you have any final words?
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting our podcast and sharing it with your friends and family, because I have heard some feedback that people are sending our podcast to their friends and family members and being like, you got to listen to this. Please follow us on Alex on TikTok and Instagram, and me on Instagram at Mrs. Pearlmania 500. Help us get more followers than Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. Well, our goal now is we need to beat Dave Ramsey.
I need to beat Dave Ramsey.
In follower count. Oh, my God.
Okay. Allegedly.
Okay. but to reiterate one last time, this program is aired with the understanding that neither the host nor this podcast engage in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are fact dependent, you should additionally seek the services of a competent professional. This podcast presentation and the opinions stated are for entertainment purposes only.
We should read that probably.
We should probably put that on every episode.
Every episode.
But this is a fun episode. We will see you guys next week. Have yourself a good one.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.